93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The remainder of the 2019-20 football season has been suspended. In case you haven't heard the news, action has been taken by the EFL in conjunction with the FA, the Premier League and the UK government to postpone every league fixture in the country from the top flight down to League 2 in an attempt to control and limit the spread of the coronavirus pandemic in England. A decision will be made on Friday the 3rd of April, 2 days prior to Pompey's EFL Trophy final at Wembley, as to whether or not to extend the suspension of football in the country. Of course, over the month, we will keep you updated on our website, expressfm.com, with all of the latest news involving this unfortunate situation. Despite the lack of actual football discussion this evening, we'd still love to hear from you back home. What have you made of the decision to grind the season to a temporary halt? Get in touch all the usual ways. It's 81400 on the text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at expressfm. You have between now and 7 to get your thoughts across to the panel. For the last time, possibly for quite a while, a good evening wherever you're listening and welcome to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening to you all. Welcome to Friday Football Hour here on 93.7 Express FM. This season, the show is proudly supported by Stagecoach across the South. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide a cheap, reliable and frequent service across the city and even further out too. Simply head over to stagecoach.co.uk to find out more information. As you just heard, the football season has been suspended for all professional English teams from the Premier League down to League 2 until at least the 3rd of April, where another decision will be made based on the level of the coronavirus threat at the time. Due to this, tonight's Football Hour will unfortunately be the last one until the action kick starts again. However, at this stage, we're not quite sure when that will be. Hopefully, we'll be back at the start of April and we'll keep you updated on our website, expressfm.com. Of course, this also means that Pompey Live will be off air until, again, the football all returns. Tomorrow's home fixture against Accrington Stanley is off, as is Tuesday night's encounter with Doncaster Rovers, next Saturday's trip to Ipswich, and the following week's away game up in Oxford. Until then, we sincerely wish all of our listeners all the best. We hope you can all stay fit and healthy while the situation pans out. I'm telling you now, I already cannot wait until the day it passes and we can all go back to moaning about the football again. We're going to kickstart the show tonight properly. We're going to start off by revisiting Pompey's most recent fixture and possibly the final one for quite some time. On Tuesday night, the Blues played host to Joe Barton's Fleetwood at Fratton Park, looking for a reaction to last week's defeat at Peterborough. On the commentary for this one, Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
I might sound like a broken record, but here we are back at Fratton Park with Portsmouth trying to bounce back from a bitterly disappointing away defeat. The good thing about this broken record is it normally comes through with news of an impressive home victory, as has been Portsmouth's staccato season, virtually unbeatable at Fratton Park. Loose ball in Fleetwood's area. Curtis might have a shot, and he will. He's put it just over the crossbar. First side of goal for Pompey. 0-0. Picked up by Evans from the dead ball line, pulls it back into a dangerous area, and the ball is going to play in the back of the net, and Fleetwood have scored. A mess on the goal line, a combination of Steve Said and Alex Bass could not keep it out. And there was Barry McKay with his second of the season. First meaningful attack for Fleetwood. Portwood nil, Fleetwood one. Will he chip it back into the box? He will. Raggett could be under it. Raggett's header! What a goal! What a header from Sean Raggett! A looping header from 12 yards out. Over Cairns. Portwood a level from one of the most likely sources. A brilliant header from Sean Raggett. Portsmouth 1, Fleetwood 1. Linus going to step up. And Whelan puts it on the post and wide. Well, Bass was floundering. It's hit the outside of the post. And Whelan is inches away from re-establishing Fleetwood's lead as the half-time whistle goes. Well, I can only apologise. We've had an absolute nightmare there. Our line has dropped out. Just as Portsmouth have taken the lead, a Harry Souter own goal. Quite how he slammed that in the back of his own net, I've got absolutely no idea. But Portsmouth have re-established their lead. It's Portsmouth 2, Fleetwood 1. Taylor, that wasn't the header he wanted. And Fleetwood could be away here. It's a 3-on-1. Real danger. McCrory, square. Morris with the chance. Saved by Bath. Pompey's goalkeeper bails them out after a horrible mix-up. And it's still 2-1. It's Chet Evans back in the danger area. And Harry Souter has headed into the back of the net at the right end, having scored an own goal. Souter, less than 5 minutes later, has equalised for Fleetwood. A simple corner to the far post. Evans back in. Souter in the back of the net. Pompey 2, Fleetwood 2. Harness outside the right corner of the box. Early ball in. Header from Curtis is wide. It's a great chance. And that's going to be the final action of the 90 minutes here. There are a few boos ringing round Fratton Park. It's finished 2-2.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights you've just heard there from Pompey's 2-2 stalemate with the Cod Army on Tuesday night. Honours even then for both sides this season. That was the third meeting between the teams already this year, with the Blues running victorious in January's FA Cup third round clash at Highbury. Fleetwood getting their own back last month with a 1-0 league win at the same ground. And then, of course, the draw in midweek to round things off. I'd like to welcome in now my two guests for this evening's show. First of all, good evening to Sam Carter, who I'm extremely grateful for picking up the phone and coming in at such short notice today. Sam, thank you.
A pleasure, Jake.
And joining us tonight, Ryan Lewis. Ryan, again, thanks for coming in to talk to us.
That's all right, mate. Nice to see you.
As always, we'd love to hear from you back home this evening as well. Simply text the word Express followed by your name and message to 81400. Email pompey@expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. Lads, we're going to start off tonight's show by talking about the football and really specifically Tuesday night's 2-2 draw at home to Fleetwood Town. And Sam, you get the feel that we needed a reaction on Tuesday night following last week's defeat at Peterborough. It was a disappointing one against a promotion rival. And I think on home turf, perhaps not expecting but hoping for a win.
Yeah, I think first and foremost though, we didn't lose, which is a very positive thing, especially after such a poor performance against Peterborough, coming into a game against Fleetwood where they were 11 unbeaten and we had this amazing home run to like protect. It was really a big test for the players, and especially going 1-0 down as well. They did well to get back into the game, and although we didn't actually see out the lead in the end, I think first and foremost it was good that we didn't lose again.
We did get back into the game, as Sam mentions there, and we came back from a goal down, Ryan. We got the lead 2-1 up, and of course, unfortunately, Fleetwood drew the game level. You look at the game on paper upon reflection, and you know, regardless of last Saturday's defeat at Peterborough, you get the feel that a home tie against a Fleetwood side who had gone 11 games unbeaten in the league are on such a great run of form that they were knocking on the door of the playoffs. A draw, not necessarily the worst of results in the world.
Definitely not. I don't think a draw was the worst. It's a bad result against them. Like you said, I think people are forgetting that they are in form. 11 matches without a loss, and Joe Barton sets his side up really well, knows how to grind out results. And I know us being in front, we maybe should have seen out the lead, seen out the game, won the game. But I think looking back at it, a draw was probably the right result in the end.
Yeah. And I think maybe, Sam, a bit of aggravation maybe at just the manner of which the draw was played out upon. You know, it wasn't the most fantastic of spectacles to watch as a football match. And it kind of unfolded. Pompey had plenty of chances to maybe see the game out, but at the same time, also allowed Fleetwood a lot of space to go forward. And despite Ryan mentioning there how well drilled they are set up as a team, slightly disappointing to see that, yeah, I don't know, maybe following last week's defeat, you'd hope for a little bit more of reaction, a bit more urgency to at least try and win the match.
Yeah, I think our main undoing was the fact that they had Souter at the back, who was about, 9 foot tall, and we were just playing balls up top and he was gobbling them up. He was loving it pretty much. The game completely suited him. He had a pretty good game apart from the own goal. and that was because we played into his hands a bit. I think, well, me and Mark said a lot on Monday about how Joey Barton was going to set the team, his team up to really frustrate, and you could see straight from their goal kicks, every single goal kick he'd call the defenders back to take it short, never once actually took it short, just a time-wasting tactic. And it, luckily we won, and we took the lead, so they had to actually play a bit more. And but then that really did show a different side to their game, because fair play to them, they got back in the game and they did quite well.
Rather annoying, Ryan, because you look at, you know, Fleetwood's second goal, Harry Souter scored to really make amends from his earlier mistake of your own goal to put Pompey ahead in the first place. But you look at the amount of defenders that are on Pompey's line to try and defend that corner. I think it's five or six blue shirts directly on the line. No one's picking up A, their top goal scorer in the league at the back post, and B, their tallest man on the pitch, Harry Souter, in the middle. You think of all the players you need to mark at a corner, those two are your top priority. Oh, perhaps maybe the basics of defending have gone out the window there.
Of course. I think sometimes at Pompey, I know a lot this season, we don't actually leave any players upfield. We bring them all back, and small space, going to trip over each other. Yeah. And if one body's in the way, I think it just causes confusion in the box. And obviously, as you say, the top scorer and the tallest player, they know where the goal is and they know what they've got to do.
I saw a comment on social media after the game, Sam. Again, we always say it's such a toxic place to be if Pompey don't win. Sometimes even if we do win, it's still quite a toxic place to look around after a match. And one comment I saw saying they can't understand why Jackett is still the manager. We're literally 2 points off the automatic places. I know, of course, the season's been suspended now, but you look at the table, we're 2 points off the automatics, 9 games remaining. Regardless of how you think, you know, how you feel about the manager and the style of play or whatever, do you not think it's a little bit absurd to sack a manager, whoever it is, at this stage of the season with so much to play for? Do you think it's just a little bit ridiculous?
I think it's just...
You look at Birmingham a few years ago, they sacked Gary Rowett when they were like in the playoffs and the championship, and from that point onwards, they were just... lingering at the bottom.
Well, that's exactly what I was just about to say. It's one of those really tricky things. I'm not particularly over the moon with the type of football we're playing at the moment. Do I think the entertainment factor is really there at the moment? Not completely, but we are in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You could argue maybe we should be higher with the fact that, you know, like, well, none of the teams have really stood out except Coventry this year. But
Even Coventry didn't really stand out until about a month
until now. So it is a tricky one, because, like you said, with Rowett was the perfect example. If you're getting the results, then things aren't always brighter on the other side.
With that, I think it's not how you start; it's how you finish.
Yeah.
And Coventry, like you just said, in the last month or so, they come out of nowhere, and they're the team. You get one team every season that come out of nowhere and just take the league by storm.
Yeah.
And I do think, I know we're only 2 points off, but I think this season is quite a poor league. And as you say, we lost against Peterborough, we've drawn against Fleetwood, we lost against Coventry. Other results are actually going our way for once.
Yeah.
See Sunderland dropping,
need to try
form,
and capitalise.
Wickham, Ipswich are falling dramatically off the pace. I think we've been quite lucky, if I'm honest.
And, you know, it's something we was mentioning at the start of the season, Sam, like Ryan mentioned there, about it's not how you start the season, it's how you end it. You know, Pompey had a terrible start to the campaign, still in 19th in October, and really looking for a win out of nowhere. But it is how you end the season, and Pompey went on that incredible run at the start of this calendar year, in January through to February. Okay, there's been a few hiccups since then, but you can't really say that those hiccups have been against poor sides, because they've actually been against, you know, promotion and challenging teams. So although you want to beat the teams in and around you, it's not as if we've lost to... No disrespect, we've not lost to Wimbledon, we've not lost to Tranmere, we've not lost to Bolton. We're just losing to the teams that are also fighting for promotion. So, you know, sometimes you lose games and sometimes you've got to pick yourselves up from that. There's still 9 games this season remaining, whatever they're going to be played. There's a lot of time for us to make up a lot of ground on the teams that are slipping away.
Yeah, it's been a strange season.
Who cares if we do it, you know, on the last day like we did 3 years ago?
Exactly. That's the thing, isn't it? Like, we were that team, like Coventry this year, when we won League Two. So, who knows? Like, I think I say quite a lot. There is still 9 games to go. Anything can really happen, especially now. We've got this break. Every team will come back fresh. Who knows? Then we might even play after a transfer window. Like, anything really could happen now, so... You know.
It really is bizarre when you look at the complications, of course, caused by by the coronavirus outbreak in the world, and you know, the way it has affected sport across the globe. And we'll come on to that in just a few moments' time. But you know, speaking back about football, because we're obviously going to, you know, deflect away from that in a few moments, Ryan. But you can't help but get the feel that this team, as we've just mentioned, have the capability of replicating the class of 2017. Because throughout that season, I can't count how many people wanted Paul Cook out of the club. So many people were so against the manager.
Yeah.
And I know you're going to say, obviously, but football's different and there's a lot of different things to, you know, there's a lot of different differences between this season and that season. But at the same time, 9 games left, 2 points off the automatics. If we go up second or somehow even first up into the Championship this season by 1 point, by 2 points on goal difference, does it matter as long as we go up?
No, of course it doesn't matter as long as we go up. That's why I think Jacket might still be in his job, because he's getting results, like you said. The style of football isn't the best to watch. I don't think we go to football at the moment and we're getting entertained. Yeah. I think we're just getting the results, particularly at home. Away from home, our form is quite bad. But I think we just need to stick with Jacket to the end of the season, see where we end up. Mm. Like you said, we wanted Paul Cook out back after that Crewe game when we lost. Yeah. Everything was toxic. I've never seen Fratton Park that toxic. We went to Crawley on the Tuesday night, 1-2-0, and everything happened.
Yeah.
Everything changed.
Things can change in such a split second. And something that has changed for one player in particular, Sam, Jack Watmore. Now, of course, he's been out injured for such a long period of time, as quite often he does find himself in that situation. He was left out on Tuesday night completely, not even on the bench.
Mm.
Now, he started last week's game at Peterborough, following the suspension of Christian Burgess in the league. You can't... It's a difficult situation, because with Jack Watmore, you can understand the manager's decision not to rush him into the first team lineup straight away after his comeback. You want to kind of ease him in and get that fitness back slowly and steadily. But it came as quite a bit of an awkward time for him and for Kenny, because I know a lot of people have the opinion that he was maybe thrown under the bus a little bit, Jack Watmore, with the level and the magnitude and you know, the quality of the opposition he had to face last week. But I don't really feel as though the manager had much of a decision to make, because it was either play Jack Watmore there, play Tom Naylor out of position, which I don't think anyone is
didn't work out for that.
Or revert to Paul Downing, who we haven't really seen at all this season. So personally, I think that Kenny was really stuck in that situation, but I can kind of understand where, you know, Jack Watmore would kind of feel that he has been thrown in right at the deep end, and it might have cost him a place in the lineup for the rest of the season.
It was a very tricky situation, and after Bolton's performance against Arsenal, I do think that maybe he deserved that starting place. In regards to Jack, though, it is tricky. Maybe seeing him play against Peterborough kind of showed the management team that he wasn't fully fit.
Yeah.
And he is not ready for these games, which a few under 23 games, maybe if we play a smaller game we should be winning, shouldn't face too much attacking threat against,
like, than probably tomorrow's game.
Yeah.
With Jack Watmore, though, if, in my opinion, he wanted to play that game, obviously he wants to prove to everyone that he can go up against, in my opinion, the league's best player, Ivan Toney.
Oh, God, yeah.
If you give him an opportunity, he would have bitten your hand off. He wanted to play that game.
Yeah.
And as you said, Bolton did play against Arsenal and did very well, I thought. Everyone knows Ivan Toney's strengths, and that a lot of them. Bolton's preferred position is right back. Maybe he could. Jack might have seen him getting outdone there.
Yeah.
Thought Jack could be the man to prove to everyone that he's back. He's ready.
It shows the strength in his character, Jack Watmore, to, like you say, Ryan, to put himself into that position, come back after such a long injury and say, yeah, do you know what? I'm going to play this game against the league's... It's not even up for debate, I'm sorry. The league's best attack.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Their front line is incredible. Dembele ran the show that day. I think with Jack, I think, obviously, a year out, he needs his minutes. I think previous games, even odd 10 minutes, 15 minutes here, there, would have suited him, because...
Yeah.
I'm one of the biggest Jack Watmore fans, but he was off the pace on Saturday and rightly taken over half time.
There was no doubting his ability whatsoever of Sam and his potential, because he's such a fantastic player on his day. But perhaps it is just a case at the moment of, you know, perhaps not quite fully fit yet to play, you know, first team football. It's just going to be a matter of waiting now, and I think we've probably got the perfect time to wait for that now.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he came into the team as, what, a 17-year-old in League Two, and he was dominant then, even then. So, you know, he's got the ability, we all know that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, it's time now for a quick break here on Express FM, but we'll be back before you know it with more of the discussion. And we'll be turning our attention to the implications of the coronavirus outbreak on football and sport around the world. And why not let your voices be heard from back home too, or wherever you're tuning in from tonight. To get in touch, you can either text your name and message to 81400. Start, of course, with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or include at expressfm within your tweets. We'll be going for your text, tweets and emails in just a few moments' time when the Football Hour returns on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to part two of this week's instalment of the Friday Football Hour, sponsored this season by Stagecoach Buses. With plenty to see and do around Portsmouth, why not jump on a Stagecoach bus? They have great deals for families and for students too. Head over to stagecoach.co.uk to find out more information or download their app to plan your next journey. Now, it's time to move the conversation on, gents, to, of course, the coronavirus pandemic, which has been spread across the globe. It really quite quickly over the past few weeks, and it's been transferred over to this country, Sam, and over the last kind of 48 hours, cases have gone through the roof. Now, of course, it's a terrible situation, and the EFL have decided to suspend every single match across League 2, League 1 and the Championship. The Premier League have cancelled all games up until April the 3rd as well. And then the governing bodies will then decide whether or not to continue that suspension or to carry on with the season. Now, first and foremost, before we really get into, you know, the effect that COVID-19 is having on sport around the world, safe to say that this really was probably the only viable outcome. Yeah. You know, we've all been waiting for it for a couple of days. There's been suggestions that games would be played behind closed doors, suggestions that the season would be terminated altogether and a supercomputer would try and generate who goes up and who goes down. But, you know, the safety of, you know, not just the fans, but, you know, the public, the players, every single member of staff within the managerial teams and the setups of every single club in the country, that comes as the number one priority out of absolutely everything. So to suspend the Football League season, although it's gutting for us fans, it's the only outcome.
Yeah, of course. I mean, the whole basis of sport is that it's away from politics, it's away from all these other things, but at the end of the day, lives and well-being has to take priority.
Yeah.
When you look at, obviously, Arteta, you've got an Everton player in isolation, three Leicester players in isolation. I think Hudson-Odoi, positive as well.
Callum Hudson-Odoi of Chelsea.
Yeah, so it's got to the point now where clearly the no handshakes didn't work. No. So, you know, like, it has to stop.
Yeah. Now, it's not just football in England or really just football as a whole, Ryan, that's been affected by the coronavirus, you know. It's sport all across the globe. You look at the NBA in America, the National Basketball Association in the United States, that's been suspended because Utah Jazz player Rudy Gobert tested positive for the coronavirus. The Australian Grand Prix, the first race of the new F1 season, the curtain raiser of the F1 calendar, cancelled to prevent the spreading, and also following McLaren's withdrawal from the race, 14 of their team members currently in quarantine in Melbourne, waiting to be tested. Daniele Rugani, Juventus defender Serie A, has been suspended in Italy for the time being, again until April, because, well, the entire Juventus team is on lockdown, as is, well, actually, the entire nation of Italy, probably one of the worst countries affected by the coronavirus so far. The MLS in America, their football league, the Eredivisie in the Netherlands, the La Liga in Spain, all suspended. The German Bundesliga, that's being played behind closed doors. As our handful of Champions League and knockout ties, and actually, you know, news coming earlier today and last night as well, that actually UEFA have completely suspended every Champions League and Europa League tie until further notice. So there's a lot going on around the world, not just in football, but in sport as well. And like me and Sam were just mentioning then, the health and the safety of, you know, the public domain is just of paramount priority at the moment.
Of course, that has to be number one, the health and safety of everyone there. I know during the week, Champions League games outside outside Paris,
yeah,
in Paris, they all gathered still to protest. Yeah. So something needs to be done by that, but I think it's the correct decision made by all the governing bodies to add Formula One, the next two Grand Prix, Bahrain and Vietnam, are now postponed.
Oh, okay.
So the Australian one's been cancelled, so I think that's getting rearranged, but the following two have been postponed. But interestingly, the rugby, Wales v Scotland, yeah, is actually still on.
Still going ahead, yeah. That one's a bit of a strange one. But you look at the idea of games being played behind closed doors, Sam. Ryan alludes to the PSG Dortmund game in the Champions League earlier this week. It was played behind closed doors. They weren't letting fans into the stadium, but the issue you've got with that is that fans will still turn up.
Of course.
They will go to the pubs. Yep. They will stand outside the ground. They will sing. And in PSG's case and Dortmund's case, they are two very, you know, raucous set of fans.
Mm-hmm.
They love it out in Europe. You know, they really do turn up. And if they can't get into the ground, they'll just wait outside. They'll congregate. And that, if anything, just makes the entire situation 10 times worse.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And you've got to actually think of the players as well.
Yeah.
Like, they are, at the end of the day, just human beings, and they're contracting, or they seem to be contracting it weirdly, yeah, unproportionately high compared to the public. So clearly they're in danger just as much as us. So you've got to think of those people as well.
Like, yeah, today, I think I heard that today's cases alone have gone up 35% in one day.
Yeah.
Over 300 cases have been confirmed today alone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only going to get worse, and I think taking action now is necessary, like what we've done. I think it could have been done a little bit sooner as well. Obviously, Liverpool played Atletico Madrid, mm-hmm, the other night. Madrid is got a lot of cases. Seemingly, parts of Madrid are on lockdown, but we somehow let them into our country.
Yeah, that's a strange one. You look at the figures within football that have been affected by the coronavirus at the moment, Sam. You look at Mikel Arteta, the Arsenal manager. He's tested positive for the coronavirus, which is worryingly for, you know, for us, for Pompey fans.
Yeah.
Not only recently, they were down at Fratton Park, and
of course
he was shaking the hands of, you know, all of the players on the pitch. Mm. Manager Kenny Jackett, and, well, I mean, fortunately for Pompey, there are no players or any kind of member of staff that we know of at the moment that are showing any signs of symptoms of contracting the disease. So that's real good news. And we're hearing that on Monday, all of the players will be tested as a precaution. And, of course, they've all been sent home for the weekend, not training. So hopefully on Monday they'll all come back negative and they can start training again soon, kind of within a limited capacity. But you also look at Nottingham Forest and Olympiacos owner Evangelos Marinakis, who also tested positive for coronavirus. He was in attendance for Nottingham Forest 3-0 defeat against Millwall just last week. So, of course, the Nottingham Forest players then had to go undergo the testing. They were put in isolation. Three unnamed Leicester City players are awaiting tests after showing symptoms of the disease. There's one unnamed Everton player who we are hearing has tested positive. And Chelsea's Callum Hudson-Odoi, who also has tested positive for the coronavirus. So it's one of those situations where you don't expect it to happen to such high-profile people, do you? You know, you kind of see it, and you see these diseases, but you think, oh, you know, that's not good. It's not going to happen to these kind of people. But actually, like Ryan said, they're just human, and they're going to contract these diseases. So to suspend the Football League season, it's not just for the health and safety of the fans, but indeed the players as well.
Oh yeah, Tom Hanks and his wife as
Tom
well.
Tom Hanks, yeah.
So, you know, it just goes to show that you can't play these games behind closed doors, because the players have to come, their safety has to come first too. Because what are we going to do? Are we going to see teams like, well, Leicester with their three players in isolation? What were they meant to do this weekend if they were to play behind closed doors, you know? So, yeah, it's the right decision at the end of the day. We're gonna have a weird month. We're not going to know what to do on our weekends, but we just have to kind of really suck it up and just accept that this is a priority and it just has to be done.
Yeah.
Twitter will be a very quiet place come Saturday at 5 o'clock as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Make a change.
It'll either be quieter or a lot louder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People will be very bored. I'm just going to read out the EFL statement in full that they posted earlier this morning. It says, the FA Premier League, EFL, the Barclays FA Women's Super League and FA Women's Championship have collectively agreed to postpone the professional game in England until April 3rd at the earliest. This action, which will be kept under constant review, has been taken due to the increasing numbers of clubs taking steps to isolate their players and staff because of the COVID-19 virus. The postponements include all matches in the Championship, League 1 and League 2, as well as all academy and youth team fixtures. In addition, clubs are being advised to suspend indefinitely all non-essential activities, which include, but are not limited to, player appearances, training ground visits and fan meetings as well. Whilst the EFL board has continued to take the advice and guidance offered by the government and its health advisers, emerging developments mean now it is time to implement football's contingency plans in response to the crisis. A further update on these plans will be given post an EFL board meeting next week. I may also go on to say the decision has not been taken lightly, but the EFL must prioritise the health and well-being of the players, staff and supporters, whilst also acknowledging the government's national efforts in tackling the outbreak. And, you know, we mentioned the paramount concern, Sam, being the supporters, the players and of course, for staff as well. But when you look at it from a footballing point of view, it really does severely disrupt the season now. And, you know, we mentioned how the Champions League and the Europa League have both been suspended until further notice. But Premier League, all matches this weekend would not be played. Same as the Championship, League 1, League 2. Until April 3rd, and that's only the earliest. You know, they're going to come to a decision on that Friday where they'll say, OK, we're going to continue the suspension for, you know, X amount of days, or we're going to restart the Football League season there and then. And to be honest with you, I can't imagine they're going to kickstart it on that weekend because it's quite short notice. So that throws into doubt Pompey's EFL trophy final at Wembley.
It does.
Now, the Blues have sold well over 50,000 tickets for the final, and of course a lot of fans are getting excited for that game. And that is the first game at the moment, essentially it's Pompey's next game.
Yeah,
as it stands, that is Pompey's next game. But in all honesty, and although nothing is official at the moment, can't see that going ahead at the moment.
No, especially with the numbers that we would be taking. I saw just a few minutes ago the Independent are now saying that it's likely that things won't be going on until September. So there's going to be a load of disruption. At the end of the day, this whole April the 4th deadline or whatever they did say about it's just a best case scenario, isn't it? So you can't see it getting any better by then. It's only what, 3 weeks time? So unfortunately, I think the Checkatrade Trophy final might be the best day out we never get to witness.
I think they're being smart, as in like only doing it to April at the moment, because we don't know too much about this virus. We need to take it month by month, I think, and because they could say all football suspended till August.
Yeah.
And then in a month's time, it might not be as bad as we feared, and we could be playing. So I think it's very clever for them to just do month by month at the moment.
Yeah. Of course, it throws a lot of uncertainty into the equation, Ryan. But like you say, it probably is the right decision. Like you say, if they were to suspend the Football League season until August, September time, and, you know, if the coronavirus dies out by, you know, mid-May, June time, then we could see 1 or 2 months without football where
we could be playing it.
Yeah. So it's going to throw a lot of disruption, you know, to the scheduling, as we can imagine. And obviously the season's not going to be finished by May time at this stage. And it really is anyone's guess as to when we're next going to see football kicked.
They're going to have to give players notice, because if they give them 2 days notice, they're not going to come back match fit. I know that they do some training, they're going to be training throughout it, but they're not going to be match fit.
No.
And it throws into how if they're going to get a month off, because obviously they normally get from like middle of May till they come back in July for pre-season. What's their break going to be like? When's the next football season going to start? When's it going to end? The Euros, got to take into consideration. Got to take in transfer windows. There's all the stuff they need to take in.
And of course, if like Ryan said, Sam, the Euros as well. That's a big, you know, cause for concern. That's supposed to be happening this summer. If you're a football fan, which of course I suppose you are, if you're listening to the show, if you follow England or if you just like to watch the games on the telly, they're friendly against Denmark at the end of this month, which myself and Ryan would plan to go to. that's been suspended. Of course, be friendly against Italy at Villa Park, that also will not be played. And but also obviously frozen to doubt the entire tournament, which, as we say, if a Football League season has been suspended for the time being and may not finish till June, July time at probably the earliest, what happens to the Euros? Does it get suspended till next year? Does it happen after the season eventually finishes?
Well, of course. I mean, well, for us,
it's a lot of questions, but we have no idea what the answers are.
Exactly. But I guess you could make the assumption for us, League One and below, we don't have... I know we have, because we've got a few international players, but we don't have the international breaks off, do we? So, theoretically, we could play on through the summer whilst the Euros were going ahead, obviously in the best-case scenario there. Obviously, that throws into doubt the Premier League and the Championship, so that's all a big headache to sort out. But I guess the positive is maybe we could see our season finish.
Yeah.
But then... would we get promoted if the Championship doesn't get played? You know, it's just a
and
big
of headache. Course they got to think of the fans as well, because obviously it's the first. Is it the first Euros where it's across countries?
Yeah.
So flights, accommodations, people's tickets.
What year?
What are they going to do?
What a year?
Obviously, if Rome's a host nation, if Italy's still going to be in lockdown, games aren't going to be played there. Flights will have to get changed. People want their money back. It's one big mess.
It's probably the worst year they could have picked to host the first ever Euros.
Definitely.
To be played across the entire continent.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing.
You know, had it been set in one country, you know, maybe that country could be, you know, rid of a disease by a certain point and it's all died down. But unfortunately, it throws a lot of more questions into the debate, which we don't know the answer to. Okay, don't forget, you can let us know how you feel about the situation back home if you're listening as well. Do you think the best and safest option is to suspend all football matches across the country until this blows over? Or would you prefer to see games played behind closed doors? What do you think could happen to the leagues if they were to be held back? We could potentially see a disruption to the season, and we will see a disruption to the season next season as well, which is scheduled to start in August. A whole big mess, but of course for really the correct cause. 81400 is our contact number if you'd like to text in this evening. Don't forget to start your messages with the word Express. Alternatively, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com or include at expressfm within your tweets if you prefer to use Twitter to share your thoughts. Also, let us know what you're going to be doing on the Saturdays, you know, the empty Saturdays without Pompey. We're just approaching 6:40. You don't have long to get involved with the show if you haven't done so already. And that's, I had it in my script that we were going to look ahead to the Accrington game tomorrow. Of course, that's been blown right out of proportion. So we won't be looking ahead to tomorrow's game against Accrington, unfortunately. We don't want your score predictions. Don't get them into us at the moment because the game isn't going ahead. But myself, Ryan and Sam will be back in just a few moments' time for the conclusion of tonight's Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to tonight's Football Hour on Express FM, which is driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the app today to find your nearest stop, view the latest timetables and find the best prices on fares in and around the city. Now, we've mentioned before the break and, you know, throughout the entire show, Ryan, that the COVID-19 outbreak has had a massive knock-on effect in the Premier League, the Championship, League One, League Two, all high-profile sport across the world, Formula One, basketball, not quite yet for rugby, but we assume that, you know, big, large crowds that are assembling for those games will soon be turned away. But we haven't really spoken about the non-league game and the women's game, which we have heard that the top two tiers, the professional tiers of a women's game, will not be played. They're also suspended alongside the professional game of the men's. But when it comes to the Pompey women, now this is something we don't often say, the Pompey women are playing this weekend and the Pompey men aren't. You know, so many times this season the Pompey women have had games postponed due to a whole number of different reasons. Their game this weekend will be played due to the sheer fact, Ryan, that, well, quite frankly, there will not be that many people in attendance for it, so there's not as much of a cause for concern.
Of course, and it is surprising given how many games there have been called off for waterlogged pitches and other issues. But they're actually going to be playing today. I believe they have Plymouth.
Plymouth on Sunday.
Yeah, so it's a nice early start for them travelling down. It's going to be strange, them playing, and the men not, like you say.
Yeah, it's quite poetically ironic of Sam. And of course, we've been hoping all season that the Pompey women would, you know, find some kind of resolve and get their fixtures played. And now this comes about and causes potential more disruption to their game. But actually, when you take into consideration the low numbers they do get at the PMC Stadium or at Gosport Boroughs, Privet Park, and you know the low attendances in the non-league game as well, having to Waterlooville, their game's going ahead this weekend. I believe they're away from home. So can you kind of see that as a sensible decision where you've got these lower crowds still allowed to attend games? The players are, they're still at risk. Whether you've got 70,000 people going through the gates or 700 people going through the gates, is that something that maybe surprises you?
Yeah, I think it is, because at the end of the day, like, what other situation do you get 300 to 500 people congregating in a pretty small space like that? So it is still pretty high risk. I'm not trying to put people off from going, because still, if it's going ahead, you can get your football fixed there. But, you know, it is a tricky one, because that is still a risk. Obviously, it's more of a risk for these higher up teams, higher attendances. But
I think, obviously, more on average, if you go to a Premier League ground, more people that would have symptoms. But what's to say 500 of them there are not going to be going to Haven tomorrow? Mm. Like, who's just like, I know on average it shouldn't be that many, but
it only takes one person to go to, like you say, Ryan, Old Trafford, with symptoms of a disease, spread it to 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe even 100 people inside the ground, and then of course it to escalate from then. But at the same time, you know, again, like Sam mentioned, we don't want to throw any doubt into this or put people off from going to these matches, because I kind of feel obliged to urge you to support your local non-league clubs, to support the women. But at the same time, the government are advising to not go out and participate in these, you know, social gatherings, which they are, because it further elevates the risk of spreading the disease. So that one person, like you say, Ryan, who could go to Old Trafford and spread the disease, could quite rightfully go to Wesley Park and do the exact same thing. Just because there's not 70,000 people there, the same effect occurs. So in my opinion, you know, if you think I'm wrong, if you've got a different opinion, let us know on the socials. But in my opinion, those games also should be suspended.
Yeah, I think,
because they're humans too, and it's exactly the same scenario.
I think it's that real tough argument about it, in the sense that these non-league clubs and some lower league clubs, they without these gate receipts, they really could struggle, because at the end of the day, the players still have to be paid. Mm-hmm. They've got rents to pay. They've got bills to pay. The staff still have to be paid. They've got rents and bills. So it's very tricky, that the non-league clubs need that revenue stream somehow. They haven't got wealthy tycoons backing them.
You raise a very good point, Sam, and that's something we're going to come on to in just a few moments' time. But first of all, we're going to hear from Ian Chiverton now, who previews this weekend's Pompey women's fixture.
Hi everyone, my name's Ian Chiverton and welcome to the Pompey Women Update. On Sunday, Pompey took on Oxford in the league. Manager Jay Sadler named an unchanged side from the previous week's 4-0 away win at NK Dons. Backed by a big crowd, Oxford started strongly. Pompey defended resolutely, with goalkeeper Hannah Horton making some crucial saves. In the 25th minute, Portsmouth's resistance was broken in spectacular style. Oxford broke down the right and forward Daisy McLachlan crossed it in. Pompey's attempted clearance failed to Kaylee Hines 20 yards out, who funded in an unbelievable effort into the top corner off the upright. It was one of the best goals I've seen by an opposition player against Pompey. Absolutely unstoppable. Pompey responded well and went straight on the attack, the ever-threatening Rosie McDonald causing lots of problems. In the first 4th minute, McDonald got free down the left and fizzed in a low cross. It missed everyone and fell to Hayley Bridge at the back post, who funded in her first Pompey goal from 5 yards. In the second half, the tables turned, Pompey completely dominating possession but unable to carve out clear chances. Oxford, whilst having little possession, did have the clear of the chances and forced player of the match Hannah Horton to make some good saves. In the 75th minute, Pompey went behind. They failed to clear a low cross on the break, and former Pompey forward Daisy McLachlan bundled the ball home. Pompey couldn't get an equaliser, and the game ended 2-1. Having had so much of the play, Pompey are going to feel they deserved at least a point. They need to pick themselves back up. They have 2 games in a week now. They face a long trip to Plymouth on Sunday, followed by a home game against bottom of the table Chichester. The Chichester game will be at Gosport's Privet Park, and it's a 7:45 kickoff. Tickets can be purchased on the turnstiles. As always, you can see all the women's goals, interviews and match highlights on our YouTube channel, Pompey Women Vlogs.
Chip there with a look ahead to Pompey Women's next match. They take on Plymouth Argyle away from home on Sunday. Very early start for the women on Sunday. But again, pleased to see that they are having their fixtures somewhat fulfilled at this stage of the season. Now, Sam, you mentioned a very good point before we heard from Chip there about the financial implications that the suspension of the Football League will have on the lower league clubs in the ladder. Well, not even just the lower leagues, but really the Championship as well. You know, you look at the losses that some of these teams are reporting in the Championship. You look at Wigan, look at Charlton Athletic right now. They're going right through the mud. And just to survive or attempt to survive in that league. Now, players are still going to be expected to be paid, as will staff, because like you say, they've got mortgages and rent and you know, bills to pay. But at the same time, these clubs aren't earning money through gate receipts, through merchandise, through, you know, food and drink being purchased at the ground. So these clubs are losing a lot of money. And whilst you could say that in the Premier League, the clubs are probably going to be fine with that, down in the lower leagues, you look at the struggling teams like Charlton, like Oldham are going through a little bit of a tough time at the moment. I think Crewe as well, Newport County, Macclesfield.
Southend
United as well, there's a whole number of teams, but even the teams that aren't necessarily struggling now will begin to struggle, and they will feel the effects of this.
Well, you say Premier League teams are going to be fine, but then that's because of TV money.
Yeah.
So, but then is the TV, like Sky and BT, going to have the money to pay them? Because
it's a massive knock-on effect.
It's just huge. There's a knock-on effect after knock-on effect, really. But we've got to say the real problem is with these teams in financial difficulty. At the end of the day, they've got even match day staff. They've got bills to pay at home, and they still need to be paid, and they're going to be making a huge loss.
I saw in Italy today that they're going to stop bills and mortgages. So once, because they're on lockdown, everyone's mortgages and bills will stop until the lockdown's lifted, and they can go back to work. Which I think is
it's a good idea.
Yeah, brilliant idea. Just interesting to see if that would happen here, which I don't think it will.
No.
But
I'm not going to get into politics too much, but you know. So
obviously, if that happens here, then might not have as big of a knock-on effect to the lower league teams like Oldham, Southend.
There's a lot to be worked out, and we can only hope and pray that, you know, for these teams, that some kind of plan can be conjured up by, you know, the Football League, the FA, maybe even the government as well, to try and support them through these tough times. Mark Catlin, last week or earlier this week, actually said that it would cost Pompey around about £100,000 per match, to not have fans at the ground. Now, of course, these games aren't being played, but with, like you say, the wages still to be paid of the players and the members of staff behind the scenes, it's still a lot of money to be shipping out. And whilst our chief executive says that we're going to be fine to steady the ship and we're not really going to have a knock-on effect from that, it is worrying, because although, like we said, this is probably the best decision to suspend all the games, Sam, financially, it's going to cause quite some uproar. Not uproar, but it's going to cause a lot of trouble.
It will, but players get paid 12 months all year round anyway.
Yeah.
So
they're going to be prepared for that.
Yeah, they're going to be prepared. So they'll get paid even if they're not playing.
Yeah.
So when they do play, it won't have a big effect on them.
No.
So, but like you said, it's just the match day staff and things, that people that steward at the games won't be getting any work. People that are behind the kiosks and things, I know.
Well, not being funny, but sports journalists as well.
True.
The Football Hour is now suspended until
the season comes back. The kiosks, they look over that, they're 17, 18. I know they won't have as many bills as an adult to pay, but if they're at uni and things, they need the money to survive.
Yeah, it's a struggle for, you know, young people like that to survive on that kind of wage. And I think a lot of those kind of kiosk staff are kind of contracted to
season.
Well, I think it's a match-on-match kind of basis with outside companies.
Okay.
Not necessarily Pompey themselves, but with kind of like a separate entity. But even so, you know, that's got to be dealt with in some sort of way. But yeah, not a league game still going ahead, Sam. We've not got long until we leave the show for a few weeks. But to sum it up, Sam, your thoughts on the situation: Premier League down to League Two, all suspended; non-league, and half of the women's games still going ahead. The right call, really, to call off football at the moment.
Yeah, it has to be the right call. It's got to be delayed at the very least, really. There's no way that things would be going ahead at the moment. We are seeing places like Italy and Spain going into almost complete lockdown, and to put it quite frank, we could be facing that quite soon. So I think it's important to get ahead of that and when you, especially in the Premier League, you're getting hundreds of thousands of supporters going every weekend, and that needs to be contained, really, because otherwise it's just going to spread quicker.
Yeah. I know we love football, we love travelling up and down the country, we love the game, everything about it, but there is more to life than football.
Oh, God. Yeah. Of course.
That's the bottom line.
There's a famous saying that, you know, football is a matter of life and death, but actually it's not.
No.
It's not. There are much bigger things. And speaking of much bigger things, Pompey, we're hearing, have donated all of the food that would have been sold at Fratton Park tomorrow to homeless charities, which is a very nice touch because, of course, they're losing out on the money of the food and the kind of ingredients that have already been supplied to the club ahead of the match day. And they're going to be losing a lot of money for that and quite, well, rightfully, putting that food to a very good cause. And
very good cause.
Yeah, it's a very nice gesture from Pompey to have done that. And we're just going to leave you, if you haven't seen it, Pompey are interested in a player called Omar Rowe from Hayes and Yedding. He's on McKennie's radar. Again, whether or not that's going to happen anytime soon because of what's happening, no idea. But they have also signed goalkeeper Duncan Turnbull last night, an American goalkeeper. You can find out more on our website, expressfm.com, on that signing. And I'm afraid that is just about all we've got time for this evening on the show. Thank you for listening in. We've got a great lineup of shows to look forward to take you into the weekend. Gloria Miller is back with 2 hours of chilled Friday evening soul from 8 o'clock, with Hipshaker taking over at 10 through till midnight. A groovy 2 hour blend of 60s soul, R&B and beat music. And that pretty much sets you up for Saturday. Ian McGuinness will be serving you the Portsmouth Breakfast Show from 7. You'll have the latest musical features, a look at local events, as well as sport, travel and weather updates through till 10. John Cameron takes control with Hammer Times through till 11. Lily Park brings you more great music, the Tiny Quiz and a look at what's happening in the city this weekend between 11 and 12. Don't forget, there's no Pompey Live tomorrow afternoon due to the suspension of the English Football League season, meaning that, as mentioned earlier in the show, there will be no Football Hour until the season eventually kickstarts again. Whenever that may be, we'll be keeping you updated on our website, expressfm.com. Coming up next for you here on Express is the Express Noughties, an hour of nothing but hit music from the early years of this century. And of course, don't forget, no Pompey Live tomorrow afternoon due to the suspension of the Football League season. But for now, here on the Football Hour, from myself, Sam Carter, Ryan Lewis, and from everyone who has joined me on the show so far throughout the season, thanks for tuning in. We wish you all of the best and hope you can all remain safe out there. We'll be back sometime soon when the season restarts, bigger and better than ever. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay safe and play out Pompey.